This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
These atmospheres in Montreal, being the enemy there, but being here and not getting the cheers that usually get when we play here. And I mean, it was just an unbelievable experience. This whole week has just been such a memorable one and something that, you know, I've learned so much personally. And just to be a part of this group and this team and be a part of USA Hockey has been, you know, better than I expected.
Brady Tkachuk, who made himself some fans. Brady Tkachuk, who was involved in the Paul Hamilton Twitter poll dust-up. Paul said he would trade Darlene for Brady Tkachuk straight up. I put a Twitter poll about that.
Yeah.
That's what I'll remember from this tournament, Joe. Everyone, Sabres fans, reminding everyone, we are still out here, as they all shouted. No, I would not do that.
Yeah. Well, even though there were a lot that voted that they would do that.
That's right. That's right. It's Jeremy and Joe, good morning. The Canadian team wins. Connor McDavid, a golden goal to win it.
Would like to see Brady Tkachuk in the playoffs, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Ottawa's in good shape right now. And they actually could end up playing Toronto in the first round.
All right.
Which, wouldn't that be hilarious? If Ottawa just walks in and beats the Leafs in the first round now.
That'd be great.
With Brady Tkachuk doing it. Yeah. Smash it. All the way through.
So, if you want to call us on the Four Nations, go for it. You know, momentum of hockey being front and center, hockey taking center stage, all that. You want to, we have open phone lines.
If there was a guy that impressed you that you kind of discovered in this tournament also.
Dare we do a thing where we ask, hey, hockey fan that remembered what it was like to feel alive, you got any idea on what on earth the Sabres might do to make you feel that way again? Because yesterday out for this game, there were a couple people I talked to that brought up the Paul idea of trading Brady Tkachuk for Rasmus Dahlin. And a few of them said, I don't even care if they lose the trade. It would be something. I would feel alive again. Mm-hmm. And that's not a reason to make, you know, a bad trade if you think it's a bad trade. But really, what we kind of started to get into it a little bit in the first hour. What on earth is the Sabres move? Lindy steps aside at the end of the year because he's not going to do it again. And Seth Appert's their coach. Kevin Adams is still the GM. I have no... What on earth? Everybody that watched that game, Sabres fans that went out, hey, what are you doing? Where are you going for the game? Blah, blah, blah. You remembered what it was like to feel alive. It was like we were cicadas that came out of the ground after 17 years and had a party and then it's over. What could they do? What could happen to make you feel alive again? I know you say, like, oh, just win. But if you chronicle the whole drought, we've done it all. We've watched them sink to the bottom in the interest of finding great players, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that, you know, was a mess and didn't work. And now we watch those guys play last night.
Right.
So, like, what?
And win cups.
What idea is possibly left?
Well, there probably isn't one, right? Like, at least not of what you've done already. So, isn't it, all right, we'll pick which one you want to try again. Go through the drought. Which one you want to try again? You want to try going to the bottom again? You want to try you want to try trading every prospect you own and floor it the way Murray did out of the tank? Do you want to be patient and do nothing? That's a lot of these years. Do you want to be the youngest team in the league? Do you want to get as tough as possible? That's the very early drought, right? That's Darcy at the end. Let's just get as tough as possible and not care about how good the player is. What do you want to do? You want a star goalie? That might be the thing they haven't done.
Yeah.
Which I mentioned when Hellebuck was available.
Was he, if he was available, like, right, that would have been a thing.
He probably wasn't. But like that might be an idea they haven't done. That might be the only one. So unless you want to go do that, like, pick your favorite idea. What do you want them to run it back with? I don't think there is a coach that's going to make me feel like they're going to turn things around. I don't know, especially one that's realistic. But who on earth, if John Cooper showed up tomorrow and said, I'm going to just coach the Buffalo Sabres, I want a new challenge. Like, okay, they'd probably be better. But what? I just think they're going to go from what they are, dead last in the East, to suddenly they're like top three in the division. How much do we really think any coach would make?
That's what I mean. Like, what?
It's about the players for me.
What could they do? Not devote an offseason to signing, all due respect, your Beck Malensteins? Like, you're not going to get better on the fourth line?
Right. Like, enough of that. Like, your third and fourth line, you want them to be better, but that's not going to be the fix right now. It's not going to be the fix, even if it is as good as they could be. You got to get more from your top players. So what could they do? Like, what they're probably going to do, or what they could, you know, I don't want to say probably, but there's so many Cousins rumors. Like, what are they going to do? Like, they're going to trade Cousins and Byram, right? They're going to look for hockey trades. Dave Pagnotta from the Fourth Period, I saw writing about them the other day. Like, they have no interest in picks and prospects. They're talking to teams about Cousins.
Good. Good to not have interest in picks and prospects.
They're getting calls about Byram. But what's tough and what maybe, like, what he wrote is, even though they're very active in calling right now, is the reason you might want to bet against a trade is, it's kind of, the trade that they want to make and need to make is kind of hard to accomplish. Even for, you know, for the Sabres, it's even harder to accomplish because it's getting the player to agree to it, and you might have wonders about, does the GM have the trigger finger to do it? But you want to trade Dylan Cousins. You want to trade Bo Byram. Okay. But you want an upgrade? Who's looking for that trade from you right now?
Yeah.
Detroit is calling you saying, oh, I'm interested in Dylan Cousins. And you're like, oh, I want Lucas Raymond. Like, what? It's like the guy in your fantasy league, like, you're looking at their roster like, oh, you know, DK Metcalf looks pretty good. He's got a lot of receivers. Let me see if I can get DK Metcalf. And then you call him like, hey, what do you want for DK Metcalf? And his answer is Justin Jefferson. Like, how do you, that's a tough guy to deal with, I think, right now. And I feel like that's kind of what Kevin Adams is around the league. Because that's the only trade that makes sense.
Yeah. 803-0550. If you want to make it about the Four Nations or about the Sabres, you can. 803-0550. A comment in the chat on YouTube. I appreciate this point. I also want to point out how, while feeling alive might not be as far away as we think, AC writes in, hard to compare a singular team to a team full of the best players in the league to figure out what they could do to make you feel alive again. But the reality is, if the Sabres just had Ottawa's season right now, we would feel alive. And granted,
100%.
Granted, is that 12 points away? It's pretty far away in the standings.
Yeah, 13.
But it is a pretty low bar. They just, of course, you know, struggle to reach it. Dennis in Lockport is up next. Dennis, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. Hey, the game last night, and actually just the whole series, I'll tell you what, that not being on a specific team, but watching really good hockey play, no matter who really got through that with the winner or loser out of this, I think they were both represented.
Oh, we lost Dennis.
Good game, and a good series, and honestly, as for the Sabres, I think Pegula needs to start looking at this and saying, what does he really want with that team?
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dennis. The hockey was great. even in moments where it wasn't wide open, where the forechecking, the backchecking, the defensive hockey, like it was very much a game you could just appreciate everything that was being done.
Yeah.
And I would also say, you know, I have a thing where I love to compare a sport to a different sport, and it's probably stupid, but it felt like I was watching a game between two great Premier League teams where, you know, in the Premier League, what you get is one team that's great attacking a team that wants to park the bus because they don't have the talent. That happens a lot. One team possesses the ball for 70% of the game. The other team just hopes to score on the counterattack. That happens a lot in the Premier League. But then you get two powerhouses, and they just go back and forth, and they throw haymakers at each other.
Yeah.
And that's what last night felt like. Nobody's out here thinking, let's play a good road period.
Right.
You know, it wasn't just pucks to the net. It was legitimate, great players trading haymakers back and forth. And that doesn't always mean, you know, grade A scoring chances. It just means the talent, the skill was on full display on every shift.
Right. And I don't know that you can't pick up anything for the Sabres. I mean, I don't know what they do to get these things, but it's just you just got to have some of the best players in the world. You don't need all of them. It's not all-star hockey. You're not going to get all of them, but you need some of them. And, you know, there's a four-team tournament that takes place yesterday, and you had one player that really was in the tournament. You know, Jokke Haru made the team because of, you know, injuries and because Finland just doesn't have defensemen. But in a tournament that is filled with the best players in the world, you didn't have anybody on the ice last night that plays for your hockey team. You had two guys that used to, and three guys, if you want to count the draft pick, Hagel. And you had Dahlin. That's it. In an entire tournament, you got one guy. So you just need, it's kind of like the Bills. You just need more of that. You need more star players. And I just don't feel like they are just going to go out and get them. Like, why it's so down in the dumps for me right now with them is I'm not expecting them to do anything. Like, I think the way they get, the only avenue they have to getting better.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is I'm just going to sit here, kick my feet up, and wait for, like, just pray that Owen Power gets three times better. And that Zach Benson becomes a 60-point player. And that, like, one of the 7,000 prospects from Rochester turns into a really good player like Kulik is. Like, I don't know what else you can do.
You really might be at that the kid that, whatever, who knows where they end up picking. But right now they're going to pick up the top five. That a kid from Brampton turns out to be, you know, the next great offensive dynamo.
And, like, I don't believe that that's the right way to do it or the most likely path to becoming a great team. I just think with all the circumstances around them, I don't know what else there is.
You know, this is not quite let's get stupid, but should Josh Allen be an ambassador for them? Hey,
jeez,
let's send Josh. Josh, call this guy for, you know, he's a free agent. Like, I like it here.
I think Sabre fans are trying to get him to do that with Marner, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Because he's a Bills fan?
Paul in Buffalo. Hey, Paul.
Guys, I mean, Marner's the guy. You want to change the franchise, and this is way above Kevin Adams' pay grade. Terry Pegula needs to bribe Mitchell Marner this offseason. He's a free agent. Offer him money that no one else can. Offer him perks. Part of the reason the Mets got Juan Soto over the Yankees is they gave him every perk he could think of. They give him security for his family. They give him a box. They give him this. They give him that. Terry Pegula is a very rich man. You want to change the outlook on things, Terry? You want to fill your building? Bring in a legitimate superstar who pushes every winger in our team down a slot because he comes in and he's immediately our best winger, unquestioned. And not just stop with Mitchell Marner. Fill your damn team out with veteran NHL players so you're not playing a 20-year-old in your top six. Instead of three 22-year-old, 21-year-old, 20-year-old, we can't keep throwing the youngest team out there and expecting them to make the playoffs. It's not going to happen. Mitchell Marner comes in and makes us better. Retain Zucker. Retain Greenway. Extend Tuck. Stop depending on 20-year-old children to drag you to the playoffs. It's not going to happen. Guys, have a great show.
Thanks, Paul. Marner had a great game.
He did.
Marner had...
He had a very good game.
Great two assists. Great plays. Marner had a great game.
I mean, I just don't believe, though, they're going to be different in that way. Like, I think they're going to be kids. I think they're going to be kids next year. I think, because unless there's a huge philosophical shift or they find all those players that want to be willing to come here, I'd love to have Mitch Marner. I'm not believing for a second that he's going to sign an 8-year contract with the Buffalo Sabres this summer. Like, it seems insane to me to think that he would actually do that. You want to send Josh Allen to his house? Maybe that changes things.
Could it really? Could it really? This is where we are. Could it really work?
I mean, it might get you in the. It might get you in the conversation. But no, it's not going to be the end all be all. Why he would do it, right?
Sounds like bulletin board material to me. You're telling Josh he can't do it? Watch. Watch him get that done. No, I don't know. I don't know if it would work.
Like, what they're going to have more kids come up. Kulik's a rookie this year. Next year, like, Oslund, I guess, is like point-per-game player in the AHL for the last month and a half. Like, that's a first-round pick. Eventually, he'll join, and then that's going to bring my average age back down. And I'm going to be right back to, guys, the youngest team in the league. Like, they're just going to be in this endless cycle until finally, like, five of them turn into great players and we can stop this madness with, like, it's just the rookies that are going to be the difference. They have a rookie right now who's the number one center. Right? Like, he's doing great. Kulik's doing great. But
this gets to the point of if Tage is no longer in your center depth, then you might as well, like, start over again. You've lost Cousins. And if Tage is not a center, then your top two centers are what? Kulik and Konstantinov.
I don't know that Thompson can play wing long term. Just because I think they need him to be a centerman, unless they're going to get one again. Like, but I can't go. You keep hearing I want to keep going back to unless they do this. But it's like I can't even speak another breath after that because I just don't. I don't have any confidence that it's actually going to happen. Especially for like an impact, important player. They traded a top 10 pick prospect away and they got a third line center. Like, that's the deal that they make. And maybe you just want another one of those, and that's fine. And McLeod's not bad, but I don't know. I don't know where they go.
803-0550. It was a great, great tournament. I hope they bring a couple things out of it. The NHL has not been one to change much. Marty Baron pointed out last night, and I mean, you think I'm kidding, and it's not a bit. I'm not just yelling to yell that there were no coaches' challenges the entire tournament.
Oh,
that's right. Not nothing. That's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a play that was offside? I don't know, and I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They did not stop a game. They just kept going. They played the sport. No coaches' challenges. I'm sure the NHL won't see that and think that was good. But having home whites, you might see that. Getting color into arenas, there was a report that they might do that. They're looking into maybe exploring colored jerseys coming in again. Could you play color on color? Why can't we see blue against red?
Right.
This tournament was, every game that didn't involve Finland was color on color.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Can I have that? When the Dallas Stars come here, can I get the Sabres black and red against the Stars green?
Yeah.
What's stopping anybody? Let's have some fun. The 3-2-1 point system. Can I have that? Do they want 10 minutes of 3-on-3? I mean, when we talked yesterday with Mike Zeisberger of NHL.com about that idea, he said he didn't think the players would go for 3-on-3 overtime. It is not that big of an ask. Is it?
Right.
It's 5 more minutes of 3-on-3 instead of staying out there for shootouts. My guess is you'd actually get to the room faster. Games would end earlier.
Yeah.
You just kept going instead of stopping and rolling out for a shootout.
Coach submits their lineup, and then the refs go over and submit it, and now we're going, one after
and
the other.
I don't know. Is 3-on-3 really that taxing for guys worried about getting injury or load management? I don't know. I don't think so. So I just wonder what the NHL comes out of this tournament with and thinking they can improve on. One side effect of this tournament, and this is, you know, baked in as I watched, P.K. Subban was on debating Stephen A. Smith about hockey. Like, this is how you know they made it. Here's P.K. Subban on First Things First. Hockey made it onto the yell shows, the shouty shows.
Right.
And hockey made the NBA kind of take a real hard look at itself in a way that maybe they haven't before. The NBA All-Star Game has been bad a lot. There's a reason it constantly changes formats.
Yeah.
But the NBA All-Star Game up against this tournament, granted, like the NHL has had bad All-Star Games too, but it led the NBA to say, oof, what are we doing? We've got a big problem here because our players don't invest in this. They don't care. It kind of got to the conversation about, this is what P.K. Subban was getting at, was your league sits its stars, and hockey does not do that. And you could make a case to me if you want to that hockey should if it were smart, but there is no load management in the NHL. Connor McDavid plays 82 games.
Yeah.
If he's healthy. And I just wonder what comes out of the sports bubble that this was in when everybody kind of steps back and takes a look at what really happened.
Yeah. And I will continue to come back to just throw your flags on it, or you're just not – you're. If you don't do that, hasn't every league proven that like the era of an All-Star game is just over? It should just be over. They had their day and they were entertaining like before I was born, really, right? Like I saw Oscar Robertson talking about like when he played in All-Star games and how competitive they were and they were fun when Dr. J's playing and whatnot, but it's been long enough now that we just see that it doesn't work. And, hey, if you want to have an event, you want to do what the Pro Bowl does, which is, like, not even a real football game anymore, like, I guess, have at it. But you could be doing something better. You could be doing something that's just international best on best. Like, that's really all I think you can do anymore if you're one of these leagues. If you want to have an event like that, that's the only way you're going to get it. You can offer the players money. You can offer them a different format. You can do whatever you want. We've got like how long? 15 years of sample size to tell us that in every single sport, these guys just aren't going to care about it.
Yeah.
Even if they're hockey players.
Right.
Kucherov last year. You're not, even the hockey players aren't going to care about it. If it's Eastern Conference against Western Conference.
Well,
Team Chuck against Team Shaq, or whoever, Team Chara against Lidstrom. That happened.
I think there's a natural All-Star game thing where the more gimmicky you make the game, the more the players realize, like, yeah, all right, I don't have to take this seriously.
Right, yeah. That's a good point.
If the format is a gimmick, you're not going to get hardcore competitiveness in, you know, that format.
Dress it all up in patriotism. It's the only way you can do it.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe and WGR. Canada wins. Stinks.
Yeah. I've got some fantasy football stuff to do a little bit later on today.
Yeah?
We're doing voting in our league that we've been doing 15 years on rule proposal changes. Do you want to hear the one that's got everyone mad at me because it's really bad?
You've proposed a rule
change? I have one rule. Just like, you know, I thought it'd be fun. Like, you know, try it out. I don't think I've ever seen a league that's done this. Cut line. Instead of automatic, like, hey, top six make the playoffs. Just, you know, 8 wins. Everyone above 8 wins, you get entry. And then we'll figure out the four. We can lay it out. We can create. You know, figure out like if there's 5, what it would look like. If there's 4, what it would look like. Maybe have a 2-week championship in some different leagues. But whatever we figure out after, like what the format would be based on how many teams make it. The concept is your fantasy league is how many teams make the playoffs decided on the cut line. How many made it? You don't get in with a losing record.
Yeah. I mean, how often do people get in with a losing record?
Or even a 500 record or something.
12-team league?
14.
Okay.
14.
I don't hate it.
Yeah?
I don't hate it.
It's like a golf cut line.
Yeah, you got to get whatever number. You put your number up, and then you would have a playoff format for 5 teams, 6 teams, 7 teams, 8 teams,
yeah.
9 teams.
And you can figure that out.
Yeah.
You'd probably never have 9 or more, but... Even if you did.
But if you did, like, there's a format for that.
Yeah.
9 teams in 3 weeks. Could you? Yeah, you could do
have
that.
Have you ever heard of a... I don't think there's a fantasy league like that out there.
No.
That I've seen.
No, I don't hate it. People are mad at you about that?
We're getting too cute now with the league.
No,
it's like the NBA with all their all-star like play to 40, maybe. Like just you're going too far.
Yeah. 803-0550. On the quarterback carousel in the NFL, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, and a place that it feels like the league wants him to go. Got the latest from Rodgers because he's talking about what he'd want to consider. We'll get that in. Combine is approaching next week. The combine from Indianapolis and maybe some Myles Garrett movement at that point. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring if you want. 803-0550 on WGR.